Blog Talk Radio.
Metal faithful, to yet another edition of everybody's favorite heavy metal podcast on the internet. Oh, yes. So, boys and girls, we are back yet again with more heavy metal goodness. And I think it's almost a weekly thing at this point. So, raise the fucking roof, people. Anywho, yes, another Tuesday, another album. Welcome here to the Metal Hammer of Doom podcast. I am your host this week, sometimes
co-host. No, you're not.
Well, you hear that? That's the man trying to take his seat back, but he couldn't get past the train fast enough. I am former 411 Mania rider, Lowe's employee, and guy with a beard, the Metal Coop, Robert Koopa. And tonight, we've got a pretty good show for you. We got the new album, Magma, by Gojira. Now, the man that we hear, that I don't know why I switched into my... the New Yorker accent. I think it's because Mark talked. The man that you just heard talking, 30 seconds ago, the typical host of this podcast, as well as the writer of this channel, and man that does a lot of other podcasts, Mr. Mark Radlish. How do you do, sir?
I am the one and only host of this show. You guys step in, it's just because I'm not available. But there is only one, and there can be only one, Mr. Mark Radlish, the mandated reporter, and frankly, he's mortified. And I'll be happy to take my rightful seat in the host position of this show. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Somebody's getting territorial.
Didn't you smell that seat? It smelled like piss.
Well, I know it definitely smells like sweaty balls.
Well, you know what it is? I don't want you guys to think that I don't love you. See, you know, it's not a territorial thing. It's a matter of I don't want you to think that I'm slagging off and I'm not putting effort into the show. Last week I didn't make the show because I was driving up from Punta Gorda, where I did not kill a pig, unfortunately. Not a pig on a farm, but apparently they have super tough skin with super absorbent hair, and but did not deliver the
This sounds like a lot of excuses as to why you couldn't kill it. I'm just saying.
Shut up, sucker. Nobody asked you.
It honestly sounds like the pig was evolutionarily adapted to the fact that everybody's trying to kill it.
Well, not for fucking nothing. But let me tell you something about this hunt, okay? Let me explain something to you. First of all, the man you hear interrupting me every now and then, Mr. Jesse Starcher, a host of the Source Material Podcast. How do you do, sir? Nobody cares. Listen to me now. All right. First of all, our guy tells us, shoot the first pig you see, okay? So I did, and that was, apparently hogs send out, like, a scout, okay? They send out, you know, pig hostages.
Uh-huh.
To go sniff out the area And if I had let, it takes travel in packs. And so it doesn't make any sense to me to shoot the first pig you see if all you see is one, because if you shoot him, which is what happened, I shot at him. I did not deliver the killing blow, but it wouldn't have mattered if I did, because there were no other pigs. It wasn't like they were going to come. It wasn't like the bit in Monty Python's The Holy Grail, you know, with the holy hand grenade where they pick it up and like, oh, shit, and then they, you know, disappear. Well, what happened? Well, he picked it up like this, and that guy disappears too. What happened to him? Oh, well, he picked this thing up, and he disappears. Pigs don't act that way, okay, if you follow my meaning. If you shoot one pig, the rest will just scatter, and they're not coming back. And it's not like 5 minutes later, it's like, the asshole humans must be gone by now, so let's go back and eat the corn that's been laid out for us. No, they didn't come back the rest of the trip. So like I said, our guide, not my fault I didn't kill the pig, it's the guide's fault, is the point of the story.
Sure.
That sounds like my excuse for a lot of dates, actually. It's like, oh, it wasn't my fault that it blew up. You see, I shot the first one that showed up, and then the rest of them wouldn't come back.
Why are you shooting women? I don't understand.
Well, what can I say? Sigmund Freud would have a field day here.
How you doing?
What's that?
You all right?
I'm doing good. I didn't catch that. Yes, I'm doing all right. I'm doing great. I'm glad I got to hear your Hog Heaven story. Now I want to hear your concert story. Don't you have one of those to tell?
You got cut off there. What do you want me to tell you?
You went to go see Hell Yeah, didn't you?
Yes. I brought my wife to go see Hell Yeah and In This Moment. We should probably talk about that too, seeing music podcast and all.
Well, let's hear it.
What would you like to know, sir?
Tell me all about it. First of all, did you dot your I's on the bottom, and did you put your fingers up, your middle fingers up, because you got
fingers
them?
Fingers up because you got them.
They ended the show with Hell Yeah by Hell Yeah from the album Hell Yeah. Which is all I cared about. Hang on, real quick. Melissa, come here. So the better story is Melissa's reaction to In This Moment, which I didn't even realize this was going to be a thing.
What?
Come here.
Oh, God. Why am I coming here?
Well, okay. So the last time I saw In This Moment, we had a dainty little girl.
Oh.
Fronting a heavy metal band, and all she said was, "Hey guys, don't beat me up. I'm a small girl." This was, I think, like either Ozfest or Rockstar Mayhem a few years ago. So what I was not expecting was what we saw. And Melissa, what did we see when we saw In This Moment?
Lady Gaga.
Please explain.
Well, I mean, it was this chick in a cat suit with blonde, curly, flowy hair, like burlesque dancing with two stagehands. And having a costume change for every song.
They're called dancers.
Sorry, whatever. Every time the song ended, she went and changed a costume.
So what did you think of In This Moment?
I didn't hate them.
She also stopped
more than I can say.
She also stopped the show several times to admonish the audience.
Yes. I'm all about peace and love. Stop beating each other up. My kid is black. Don't make those signs.
Oh, I missed my kid as black.
Oh, you did. There, I guess apparently people were doing like Hail Hitler.
That's what I got.
And she was like, "I am not about that. I am a black kid." And I was like, "Okay."
I didn't know. I didn't hear the black kid part.
Yeah.
All right.
My son is black.
Two quick questions.
Didn't she do the whole Nazi thing?
Yeah, there were people. Okay, so you have to. She was wearing like a pink version of the Hitler suit. And then she was at a podium. So she was definitely invoking
like
fascism, Nazism, without actually thinking about it. So it was her own damn fault, really. But
yeah,
there were people who called Hitler. But hang on. Just a real quick summation so I can let you go and we can actually get on with reviewing Gojira. What did you think of Hell Yeah?
Meh.
Whoa!
Andy. did you think of Country as Fuck by Shaman's Harvest?
I guess that was actually the one band I liked that night.
So there you have it. There's my wife who doesn't like heavy metal's impression of the concert, guys, right down here.
Night.
See ya.
Bye, Melissa.
Bye,
go teach children.
Go teach children.
No, nope, bummer.
That's how you talk. That's how you talk to your women, by the way. Hey, you, get out of here.
Well,
so the concert had a woman who had to take fucking breaks to go get in different outfits and then complained about people replying to her Nazi iconography with Nazi iconography.
Yeah.
I mean, the show itself was good. I liked the new In This. I didn't realize In This Moment had gotten so industrial. So I liked the music. My one complaint about the show overall was not only she would stop to admonish the audience, she would stop to give a speech about peace and love. She would stop. The show would stop just naturally because she had to have a longer costume change at some point than others. So there was no flow to it, really. It just felt like there was too much stop and start. Like if you go to a concert, they'll play a couple of songs, kind of stop, change cars, do a spiel, whatever. This was literally like 5 minutes stop every song. It was almost like being in a Pantera concert, only I wasn't nearly as annoyed. So, the things for how you did a lot of about how heavy metal saved you a lot. We got there. We went at a bar before the show because it was first Friday in Petersburg. So a lot of local bars. We stopped to hang out with a friend. Most of Shaman's Harvest. But I got to hear a song called Country as Fuck. That was very exciting.
Nice.
That was enjoyable.
Very nice.
At least you had fun at your metal show. Jesus Christ. I can imagine getting really mad during In This Moment, dude. I don't like them a single bit. But if you have like a 5 minute costume change after every song, what the fuck are you even there for? Like, for example, Nightwish, they had about like maybe 2 stops during theirs. And one was your typical, okay, let's change guitars. The other one, they had one of their guys come out and do Nemo.
Robert, you're breaking up.
You know, something that entertains the crowd rather than, oh, look at her costume now. Yeah, not a fan of that band.
You're breaking up a little bit, by the way.
Am I? Because you were too.
Yeah.
Mark, I think it's actually on your end, dude. Just when you were talking, you were breaking up.
Just like
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. he's there for a second and then he's gone.
Just like the Black Phantom.
I would have loved to have gone to see Hell Yeah, that's for sure. I've heard one song by In This Moment, which is Sick Like Me, which is I think one of the most recent releases. And Country as Fuck. I had no idea that was the song. Did you say that was the name of the song? Wasn't the name of the band. It was the name of the song, right? Okay. All right. Now I can hear you, Mark. So.
Harvest.
Something Harvest.
Shaman's Harvest.
Oh, boy. Shaman's Harvest. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I will remember that. I'm going to see if I can find them on Spotify. I'll check them out.
Yeah, I think I actually shared it with you guys through Messenger. All right. we've got sound issues. We're talking all over each other. It's a whole mess here. Let's move this along. So tonight we are this is July, and July is Shit We Forgot About month. We are going back and looking at some albums that we didn't get to when they first came out. Because there was nothing coming out in the month of July that any of us were really too wazooey about. So the first one up on the docket here is Gojira Magma, which is the latest album from French heavy metal band. They are from Bayonne.
Is that
so
on the bayou?
They are not from the bayou. We're going to go ahead and jump right into this, right into Magma here.
Don't jump into Magma, folks. Don't listen to him.
The floor is lava.
The floor is lava.
Super. I wanted to review the new Gojira album. I've liked previous Gojira stuff. Have you ever listened to them before? What were your thoughts on Gojira, if any?
Oh, I really enjoy Gojira, actually. I was introduced to them in community college from a guy and a kid named William Morgan. He was in my math class, and this is my 8 a.m. math class. That was when I could handle an 8 a.m. class without bitching like a little child. I started showing him bands like Death. Like, he really got into Death, thought they were awesome. And then he let me borrow two of his Gojira CDs because we just sat at his car talking, because that's also what I do for fun, is talk to people like I don't have anything to do in my life, just like tonight. So he let me borrow the first Gojira album, Terra Incognito, and second one, which was the Ways of All Flesh, and the third one. So listening to those, it was really different. The first Gojira album is a lot of death metal. There's some progressive elements to it, but it's really heavy. It's a very aggressive album, and then The Ways of All Flesh is very much the same. There are some really, really good heavy tracks on it. After that, I got into their album From Mars to Sirius. That's what it was. Sorry, that was absolute classic. It was a really beautiful marriage of your kind of the progressive sound that they've been breeding, and then the death metal that came in there. And then in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, I listened to L'Enfant Sauvage for my column, and I ended up liking it fairly well. It was serviceable. I'm not going to say it blew my mind like the other ones did. And now we're following the trend. Now we're here.
All right, now we're here. We ain't going nowhere. New Body Count record coming out next year.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit, it's going to be all like Donkey Kong, baby.
I just watched a Rick and Morty where Ice-T, I wouldn't say he guest starred because it was pretty much his likeness, but let me just say that Ice-T is not exactly who you think he is. He's, as a matter of fact, he is water tea from a different planet. That's okay, that's neither here nor there.
Hammer Eye.
I shouldn't let that bleed into my podcasting. Mark, I interrupted you. Let me tell you just real quick. I could tell you my extent of Gojira and my history with Gojira. And it's very, very little. This is the first time I've ever listened to a full album by them. I think I may have heard something off of their previous album, L'Enfant Sauvage. But I can't even tell you what the name of that song was. So this is my first, this is the first time I've ever jumped into the magma.
Jump in the magma.
This is, we're going to be on this fucking podcast all night. This is the Shooting Star, first track off the new album, Magma by Gojira.
We'll be right back.
kind of a slow start on that one. You know, it's funny. You guys were messaging before. I remember which one of you it was. I've been trying to follow on Messenger while I was doing stuff with my family. And I don't think one of you guys was talking about, like, yeah, I'm not really into this. The metal community loves this album. Just real quick, Metacritic, 86 out of 100, All Music, 4 out of 5 stars, Bloody Disgusting, 4.5 out of 5, Exclaim, 7 out of 10, The Guardian, 5 out of 5, Rang, A, Metal Hammer, 4.5 out of 5, Metal Sucks, 4 out of 5, Pop Matters, 9 out of 10, Rolling Stone, 3.5 stars, and Spin, 8 out of 10. So apparently this is connecting with some audiences out there in the metal community. What do you think about that, Cooper?
Yeah, I was actually the one that was like, that was, I'll give one thing. I really think that, I think this is an album that really takes a few listens, because I've listened to this album twice, which is about how many times I usually listen to things. This song here, honestly, it's a very fast album. Because there's, like, with this song here, which I was surprised was not about the WWE tag team, the Shooting Stars. Because then I remember nobody gives
he was
three
surprised,
cents about
folks.
Yeah, well, then I remembered that they are slightly talented, but they're only around because they want Carlos Colon's what is his fucking promotion? Puerto Rico. His Puerto Rican promotion's tapes. God, I don't know why they still have vignettes for those fuckers. Anywho, this song here, it drones. Like, the main problem I've had with a lot of the album, which I think it's just something that maybe it's because I didn't have headphones in or something. I kind of had it on in the background while I was doing some work. It's just dun 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 dun.
It was droning, boring, no tempo, grinding, just nonsense. Isn't that what you listen to?
What? See, that's where you're wrong, Mark Radley, just because it's not exactly talking about the middle fingers being up because I got them. Does not mean that I'm.
This would be right up your alley.
Well, I mean, this is. I mean, yes, this does seem like something that would be up my alley. I wasn't sure if you were trying to make a little pot shot at me there, Mock Rattle. God, I just popped that pee like crazy. But no, that's actually. It's something that I think it's going to have to grow on me because, yeah, I'm going to listen to this album a few more times, but it really just didn't blow me away all that much, I think, because what I really loved about Gojira's music in the past is that they've managed to mix in death metal with progressive stuff, and really they've stripped away most of their death metal influence and really just kind of went with the more almost like a groove metal vibe, and that's not as much as what I'm subscribing to. But with this song here, honestly, I feel like as an introduction to the sound you're going to get on this album, this does a very good job of being that. Perhaps it's just not something that I was really expecting, and thus it kind of bled in the background for me.
Yeah, I would say the first go-through with this album, it was kind of background music. You know, I think my first pass, I found myself thinking, oh God, this is going to be yet another one of those shows where I'm going to have a hard time talking about the album. And then I listened to it again, and I'm like, oh, it's actually, you know, Jesse and I actually talked about a couple of the tracks. I'm like, oh, this is actually getting better than I thought it was. And definitely one of the things I liked about Gojira is that they somewhat broke away from the strict death metal sound and entered more of a groove metal kind of a thing. So this next one is the second single that they released in May. The album came out in June. They released the second track in May of this year, May 20th, 2016. This is Silvera. happier as I think the next one that we both like, Jesse. But they mentioned in their Wikipedia page that they wanted to go for some more Pantera-ish kind of riffs. So what did you think of that, about that? Because that's the first thing that jumped out about me is when I listened to the whole album, I was trying to think of who they reminded me of. I'm like, oh, yeah, they remind me of Pantera. Duh.
I don't know if I could make that comparison. I that didn't jump out to me like that. I mean, it's a really, really good song. I think this is one of the ones that I had the chance to listen to that got my attention for this album. This was on one of those Spotify playlists that I caught, and I really liked this one. This was, I think this was either the first or second single that they dropped off of this album. But was it the second one? Okay. Because it kicks some ass. And I was like, okay, now these guys have my attention. I had heard of Gojira before, but I had never listened to anything that they had done, or at least nothing that really was memorable in my eyes. So as soon as I heard this one, I was like, immediately I added it to, you know, I added it to my songs list so I could go back and check out the album later. And it's good. Now, Coop, is this a good representation of what Gojira was back when you were listening to them prior to this album?
This is a lot closer to what they used to do. A lot of, especially at the beginning, where it had that kind of that driving heavy guitar with the kind of repeated drumming, repetitious drumming is how I should have said that. That is far more indicative of their previous sound, at least in my opinion. That's probably why I gravitated more towards songs like this. So I'll say, as this song was playing, Shooting Star was playing on my computer, and I'm like, all right. Yeah, I think this album's growing on me. Because I started out at this podcast like, I'm not going to say bored at the album. I just kind of felt like it fell a little flat for me, but I think this is one that you kind of just have to put on repeat, which the fact that it's very, I'll say repetitious, kind of droning in nature, very much like drone metal, which is a nice subgenre, I think that really lends to it. There's a certain advantage to that, because you can put it on and you don't really realize how far the passage of time has passed. And perhaps I'm thinking that's something that they could be looking at. But, yeah, this is one of my favorite songs of the album. It's very well done. And actually, the more I think about it, yeah, I'm really surprised they're able to get – some of these songs are 3 minutes. They don't feel like 3 minutes. They go by pretty quick.
Well, this next one is my favorite song on the album. It's one I shared with you guys. You know, I think I wrote to you guys on Messenger that this was the jam. This was the standout track to me out of all ten we're going to be listening to tonight. That's me out up there. This is The Cell. Listen to that over and over again. love the double bass, and I love the bass strumming in that song. If anything, it reminded me of Fear Factory, one of my favorite metal bands of all time. It's probably why I'm gravitating towards it. Jesse, what did you think?
It was a good song, definitely. I enjoyed the way that it started out. I didn't think I was going to like it, because I remember when you shared it, I hopped on there and I listened to it, and I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to dig this. But when they start breaking out shortly after the beginning of it, it starts to become up there in my top, probably my top three off the album. It's very good. I enjoyed, the only really unfortunate part is that it shares the name of that horrible Jennifer Lopez movie.
Oh, wow. I forgot that damn movie existed. Good job,
Jesse. You're welcome, sir.
I just kept thinking Taco Cell.
Taco Cell? The hell is that?
Taco Cell. It's Taco Bell, but you're in a cage.
All right, then.
Very much. Waka waka. Yeah, this song here is the buggin' jam. Again, this is really what I gravitate towards with the band. And I actually looked at the reviews while that song was playing at the last album I was hearing. And I'm like, huh, maybe they're calmer, you know, more groove metal-oriented songs just don't quite hit me as heavy as their heavier stuff. Because that album had the same sort of acclaim. And I remember I thought it was definitely a good album. I never thought it was really great. And that's kind of been my opinion on it ever since then. So, you know, maybe some of this is just not quite my thing. But you know what? One good track, two really good tracks. They're doing pretty good so far.
Indeed. All right. Let's move this right along here. Now, this was their first single for this album, Magma.
Damn it.
Magma. Did you just say Magma?
That would have been a horrible name for an album. Magma.
You know what that is, don't you?
Definitely a little Dr. Evil there.
I certainly do.
Anyway, their first single for their album, Hot Magma, it was released April 22nd. Branded. All right, I'm going to stop it right there, and I'm going to replay it. But that one right there that riff is right out of By Demons Be Driven by Pantera. So just that, I'm telling you right now, when they said they were going to the Pantera playbook, they weren't kidding. That right there is the opening riff. Note for note from By Demons Be Driven by Pantera. All right, here we go again. Interesting choice for a single. I thought it was okay. What did you think, Rob?
Coop.
What?
What did you think of that?
Tell me. Oh, okay, that was the main. Sorry, I got talked to for a second. Yeah, I can totally smell the Pantera in this. But like I think I said earlier, the more repetition that, like, the more I listen to this song, the more the repetition kind of bores its way into your head. I think I'm starting to like this album more and more. It's weird.
They're gonna make you like them.
Or else.
We're gonna keep playing that same note till we get it right.
Yeah, I mean, it was
How much Pantera have you listened to?
Who, me?
Me?
Oh my God, guys! What's happening tonight?
I didn't hear you say a name. Give me a name. Were you talking to me?
Yes.
How much Pantera have I listened to? I've listened to, well, the two most popular, maybe three most popular albums, Cowboys from Hell, A Vulgar Display of Power, and Far Beyond Undriven. Was that another one?
Far Beyond Driven was their number three album, yes.
Okay, all right. And so those are the three that I'm very familiar with.
If you're going to number the Pantera albums, it gets a little weird because there's a Pantera album that precedes Cowboys from Hell with, I believe, a different singer, and they were doing more of a glam rock thing. So I think I cannot remember for sure whether or not Phil was even in the band at the time. But if you're starting with Cowboys from Hell as number one, then yes, Far Beyond Driven is number three.
Now here's the thing, though. The correct question would be, when was the last time I listened to Pantera? And it's been a long time. I really, when I was into Pantera, I was a member of the Columbia House Record Club and got those two tapes from them, and one of those 12 CDs for one or 12 tapes for 1 cent. Have you ever heard of the, I'm sure you've heard of the Columbia House Record Club.
Right? No, I'm not 35.
Oh. Are you?
Old,
you're an old man. All right. Picture back in the day, Coop, we used to record albums on what you call the cassette tapes. Okay.
I know what a cassette tape is. I have some in my car.
Reel to reels, and you could buy them in the store, at the record store, at the Sam Goody. That was my old man voice. In any case, before CDs, Columbia House, and what was the other one? Just, it was Columbia House, and then there was another
BMG, BMG, BMG Music Club.
Right. The way that they got you was you would get like 10 albums for some ridiculously low price. It might have been a penny. And then they would send you an album of the month. And it took forever to get out of these clubs.
Oh, jeez.
You ended up with a lot of albums you didn't want. Basically. That's how they get you. I remember belonging to Columbia House and owing them shitloads of money for shit I didn't want. But they got you with that 10 albums for a penny bit. So that's how that worked. You caught up now? You good?
You know, that reminds me of kind of how eBay works. You get a lot of something you want. Like, let's say, oh, there's a bunch of anime you want to buy. And then that bunch of anime you want to buy, there's like two series you want to watch and about six that you don't. Well, shit, it'd be a lot cheaper to get that whole bucket of anime than to go buy those two separately, so I guess I'll bite the fucking bullet.
It's close, yeah, but you didn't have eBay sending you a shit album or their whatever album every stinking month. That was what was horrible, and you got that, and you had to return it. See, here's the thing. If you didn't want it, Coop, you had to turn around and pay the shipping or whatever and return that thing back within a certain amount of time in order so you wouldn't get – or you were paying the full price for it. And don't worry, they sent you a bill. Trust me, they sent you a bill every fucking month.
What's the bill on Capitol Hill?
Coop, I don't know if you remember this, but porn on the internet used to work that way. Back when everything was dial-up and AO and everyone, the only way to get on the only way to get on the internet was through AOL. The way to get porn back then was you had to get on like a mailing list essentially, and you never knew what picture you were gonna get from some crazy person out there. So you could get, you know, your standard average, you know, run-of-the-mill porn, or you could get something absolutely horrifying. And I can't. And it was always, and with the dial-up, it was always like a slow reveal. You're like, oh, yes, you get a bottle in the twat. Like,
oh, no, not Germans. Anything but the Germans.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I was like, I'm not going to be able to.
It's like the crying game.
Yeah. All right, speaking of the crying game, this is track 5, Yellowstone. Seems like it's right in your wheelhouse. You want to talk about it?
Yes. The instrumental that we had on here, which was not named after the national park, Yellowstone, actually gave me a lot of vibes to Anesthesia by Metallica. I think it's just because of all the heavy bass in it. It really gave me that sort of vibe. As for the song that followed it, Magma. that amused me so much. Magma. Boiling hot magma. It's one of those.
One freaking starts with laser beams.
Anytime somebody says laser, I do the quotes. Fire the laser.
Laser beams.
Every time, fire the laser. But this song here is another one of those. Honestly, I didn't really know when it began and ended the first time I listened to it, because it just kind of drifted into separate pieces. Listening to it a second time and then this third time, there's a lot to really deconstruct from it. I think it's something they're really doing differently now that they're really aiming for a groove metal sound instead of something progressive. With something progressive, you're going to have a lot of intricacies involved inside your playing. With this here, the more groove sound, it's almost like a deconstruction of what they're doing. And this song here is really a testament to that. A lot of the fact that they deconstruct a lot of their riffs and stuff and just kind of let them space out. And it does a really nice job of getting into your head. I think, honestly, that's what a lot of this album does. Just that repeated listen, just kind of force in. Yeah. Gets on in there, nice and deep like.
You'll know it when you wake up tomorrow and you got a piece of it going through your head. That's when you know that either the devil's in the track or it's a good song, one or the other.
The devil's in the track. Oh, my.
One of the things that I've noticed just by, you know, going through this album the two or three times that I've done, Gojira is a very atmospheric band, and it's evident to me that I pay more attention to the music that is being played than any of the lyrics that are being sung at all. As a matter of fact, the vocals really take a back seat on a lot of these tracks, in my opinion, to the way that these guys put the music out there. You played Stranded, and that screaming of the guitar is horrifying. It's scary. And that is the atmosphere I think that they want to try and portray in that particular song. Same thing with Magma. I pay attention more to what is being, this is probably the first time that I could say that I have really paid more attention to what is being played musically than lyrically on any album you guys have ever had on here. So Gojira's got that one for them. And I think that's a lot to say of the type of band that they are. Now, I don't know if this is anything compared to what they used to do. I know you guys say it sounds like they're going for more groove metal, you know, type of feel, but for some reason, I'm thinking that something that I heard off of their previous album had that atmospheric feel to it also. As we go on through the rest of this album, nothing really changes for me in that respect either, until we get to like the very end when it just gets kind of weird. But I enjoyed Magma. I enjoyed Stranded. Yellowstone's that nice little interlude in there. A good three tracks here.
Just out of curiosity, what changed for you, Jesse, that you made that you sort of paid attention to something different on this album than what you normally would? Like, what happened with this album?
I don't know, man. It's the way that I honestly think it's the way that Gojira, you know, constructs each track. It seems like they put forth more effort into making the music stand out rather than the lyrics. So as to what changed, I think it's just the band itself. I honestly think that it's something that they have focused on and made their goal, is to let the music speak more than the actual lyrics. I can't really put it into words other than that.
No, that's good enough. Okay. Right, let's go ahead. No, it was good. Let's go ahead and move on to track 7. This is Prey. What do you think, Jesse?
Oh, man, did you hear any of that, Coop?
I heard that it's groove. I heard, well, you know, it's not really groove metal. It's more like a stoner metal, and then it drifted into the ether.
And then he comes back with, what do you think?
What do you think?
Mark, Blog Talk, it hates you tonight, man. I was worried it was me, but I think Blog Talk hates you tonight. You are the guinea pig calling in as a guest. I missed half of what you said there. Let me throw this out though. When you say groove metal, one of the reviews that I was watching today was comparing this album. Gojira was kind of leaning towards some Tool, which I don't know if that kind of falls in the realm of what you're saying there. I know that this particular song reminded me of, man, I can't remember what song it is, but it's one of the ones off of 10,000. Shoot. I'm about called it 10,000 Fists. 10,000 Days. Yeah, 10,000 Fists is Disturbed. 10,000 Days. And so I get a real Tool kind of a feel with this particular song. You know, obviously it's called Pray. You get that kind of religious chant or singing in unison kind of deal there that definitely evokes a religious sense, in my opinion. I don't know. I get a real Tool feel here. What about you, Coop?
To answer what I heard of Mark's question, stoner metal. Stoner metal is very much like a heavier version of hard rock to me. That's like Orange Goblin, maybe some of that groove, a little bit of groove to it, but really it's more has a fast driving beat to it. I would go with more of that Tool, that progressive kind of groovy sound. I think it's really a mix between the two is what they're going for. They've got the groove metal, the deep compression going on, but they also have the more progressive metal. Sorry. They have more some more progressive metal going on, too. There's still some of those, the changes in tempo and almost different little passages in the songs.
Yeah, I like the comparison to Tool. Which would explain why I don't like a lot of this album. I can see why I know people are huge fans of Tool, and I don't like. And that to me is what a lot of Tool is, very atmospheric metal. I'm not going to take anything away from the guys. They're all talented. But it's a lot like another band I don't understand. The Dillinger Escape Plan. There's another one where people were. But the one that I was actually thinking of, the Deftones.
I hate the Deftones.
Anytime I like, metal, people were like, "Oh, do you like the Deftones?" And I'm like, "Nope."
Negative.
I can't stand the Deftones.
I can't either, dude. I got a couple buddies who are just huge into them, and I'm like. Good on you. Have fun. Not my thing.
Yeah, not my thing. But I can't. I'm not taking anything away from the talent of the people. It just doesn't do anything for me. And I think that's where I'm struggling with this album. Why like it kind of peaked early for me, and then after that it was like.
When you listen to the two singles that were released, I mean, I know we've got a couple more tracks to go, but when you listen to the two singles that released. If those were supposed to be indicative of what was supposed to be on this album, that's kind of the way I took it when I first listened to them. I was like, this ought to be great if the rest of the album sounds this way, and it doesn't.
No, it really doesn't. All right, whether it's Blog Talk or the fact that I'm using Google or to call in, or it's just I have a slow computer. I don't know what the problem is tonight, but let's get this. Jesse.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
We're off to a good start.
For right now.
Jesse's paying attention in class. Jesse's paying attention in class. Jesse can hear me. Here we go. You ready?
Go for it.
All right. Do you remember back when you were in high school for like a week, the chanting monks were really popular?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think that spawned some interest into, was it Enya? Or
we talked about Enigma.
Yeah, something like that. Yes, sir. That was, I can remember that very clearly.
Yeah, the chanting monks were a big thing for a while. This sounds like Pantera got rid of Phil and brought in the Benedictine monks the same.
Yeah, and this is so laid back and not in any way does it feel extremely heavy to me in any way, shape, or form.
It's still very experimental.
Yes, and I guess as that's one of the key things for progressive, you know, they get out there and do some stuff that just isn't what you're expecting. So I guess we should expect the unexpected, and it shouldn't be a surprise. Coop, what do you think?
I thought, one, it's good to hear you, Mark Radlich. It's very nice. Two, I thought this song was I like the way you described it. Experimental. This felt very much almost like a dreamscape. I like the little bits of French that they threw in the lyrics, because actually the lyrics in this album are very interesting. They go a lot deeper than you would think. But I honestly think that the pulsation of the music really kind of blends out the lyrics unless
yes.
you're really looking for them. It blends it out. But I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. I think the lyrics are fine. I like the vocals a lot too. Honestly, the more I think about and listen to this album, the more I like it. we'll slap that on the tin right there. Slap it on the album. It's a grower.
And at the end of the podcast, he was a fan of the album.
It's a grower, not a shower.
There you go.
Put that right on the cover. All right. Speaking of growing, not showing, this is the last track of the album. This is Liberation. Thank you. Seriously, what the fuck?
Mark Radulich on the guitar, everybody.
Let's go out for some African.
African.
Yeah, I'm so tired. Let's go out with fucking African fucking drumming. Yeah, sure. Because it's, you know, goddamn you, French. This album sets U.S.-French relations back at least 1 year.
Yeah, damn French with their bag hats and their surrendering.
Yeah. Oh, let's get some more hell yeah on here. Come on now.
Oh, man.
Not go that far.
I wanna see Hell Yeah cover one of their songs. That I would like to see.
In French. All right. Let's wrap this. I'm gonna go.
Things
ahead.
That will never fucking happen.
I'm gonna go ahead and give it a B minus. I would give it a C, but that's not fair. Technically, it's a good album. It's technically proficient, as we would say on the movie podcast. It's not like it was made badly and like there's a boom mic in the shot. I mean, it's fine as far as record construction goes. It just doesn't tickle my fancy. It doesn't get me hard. It doesn't get me wet. It doesn't do anything for me. It's just sort of there.
Oh, wow.
There's one or two tracks that, you know, get me going. And then after that, it's, you know, it's African drumming and chanting. And, you know, I'm not really interested in what's happening here. Coop, are you there? Coop, can you
hear
me?
Surprisingly, I can. Yeah, I don't think we should ever allow you to use the guest number ever again.
Never.
Yeah.
I'll just dial in when I get there, huh?
Yes. Just like our Children of Bodom podcast. Just phone it in. But anywho, I'm grabbing my cup of noodles. Cup of noodles.
What are you like? You're a poor college student? What's going on here?
That's funny. You should mention it. I so happen to be so. Cup of noodles. Anywho. Yeah, this album here, I was going to start out and give it a 3 because, well, you know, there's some good spots and I see what they're doing, but I wasn't really on board for it. But darn it, I've listened to this a third time and I'm going to give it 4 out of 5. Well, I mean, for example, hearing that song now, I know what they were going for. Before, I didn't even really register that it was playing. Like, I was like, okay, it's a thing. You know, listen to what they were doing there. They're going for almost a African drumming with some Middle Eastern guitar. I can dig that. That's up my alley. So, yeah, 4 stars. I dug it.
I don't cotton to no Middle Eastern, nothing, no foreign, nobody. Sound like hate breed or stop playing your instrument, goddammit.
All right. For myself, again, first, diving in to Gojira and the magma, if you will, I didn't hate it. Okay. This isn't an album where I'm going to, you know, tear apart because again, I don't know these guys very well. I don't know where they're coming from. I haven't had the opportunity to listen to a lot of their previous catalog. So listening to this, it's got its pluses. It's got its minuses. I'm going to give it I'll tell you what, for Gojira's, you know, for the first Gojira album I've ever listened to, I will give it a thumbs up. I'm not going to give it a thumbs down. I'll give it a thumbs up because there's a lot of bright spots on this. And, you know, hey, if I wanted to put it on and clean like I did today, it's not like I'm sitting there looking and skipping a track because I hate it. That's a plus in my book. There's nothing on here where I'm like, we could do without the 10th song because really, which is, I'm really glad they put it at the end. It belongs there. So you can stop the album if you want to. You don't have to hit fast forward and skip a track or something like that. So I think it belongs there. What the hell they were trying to do with that? Hey, I don't know. It's their album. Whatever. So I'll give it a thumbs up. It's not going to be top 10 albums of the year, in my opinion, for me at all. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that. But my, you know, my first go ahead with Gojira, they got me. So I'm all right with it.
All right. That wraps up our review tonight of Gojira Magma, an album that came out this past month, this month of June. You've heard our thoughts on it. Last week, because I was out trying to kill a pig, pig that was incredibly hard to kill, Wolverine. unfortunately, I was not able to make the podcast, but Jesse and Cooper, always professional, they held down the fort and they reviewed me Whitechapel. This week on the docket, tomorrow, Robert Winfrey and I will be reviewing the new Legend of Tarzan. And then we got a special treat. So Thursday, we'll still be busy covering Dos Anjos versus Alvarez on Fight Pass. My wife and I are going to get together, and we're going to review the BFG. That's what caused me to be late tonight. Our whole schedule got bacocked today. Bacocked, that's a word. Look it up. Our whole schedule.
Right there with Schmegma.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And Schmegma.
And Schmegma.
Spaghetti, Fakakta, the whole business. anyway, so we were supposed to see the BFG this afternoon. We didn't quite make it, and I didn't want to reschedule going to see the movie because I am I am an order muppet. And my wife is a chaos muppet. Which are you, Jesse? Are you the order muppet or the chaos muppet in your family?
Definitely order, sir. Definitely order.
Is your wife a chaos muppet?
Probably. If I didn't have my reins pulled on her enough, she would be a chaos muppet. Absolutely.
Outstanding. You guys are a marriage that's going to last. now we have Cooper, who is a chaos muppet, obviously. He needs to find himself an order muppet. In any case, because I am an order muppet and I can't handle when plans have to be rescheduled. I really can't. I start to lose my mind. I was like, oh, we're gonna
I'll never forget that Civil War story you said. You told us.
Exactly.
Shit just hit the fan.
So I made sure we got it done. I paid $70 for my wife and my two kids to see fucking the BFG in IMAX.
God.
In because that was the only, because at the end of the day, that was the only showing that was available after my daughter was done with Sweet and Sassy Camp and then cheerleading. so that's how my day went. In any case, the whole point of this whole routine is that at 9 o'clock Thursday night, we will do an extra review. My wife and I, she's a little bit country, I'm a little bit rock and roll, and we're going to review BFG. Next week, right here on the Metal Hammer of Doom, we're going to switch days. Okay? We're going to screw with the audience here. We're going to switch the calendar around. On Tuesday, July 12th, we're going to review The Secret Life of Pets. Myself and Robert Winfrey. On Wednesday, there's going to be nothing because Robert Winfrey will be reviewing McDonald versus Lineker, UFC for 401 Mania. And then on Thursday, myself and Jesse Starcher, and if the coop doesn't have to work, we'll be reviewing the new Lacuna Coil from way back a few months ago. Coop, what's your story there? Are you going to be able to make it on for that show?
Actually, that's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, glad to hear it. The following week, and then I'm just going to stick with what we're doing here on the Metal Hammer of Doom. July 19th, it's Coop's pick back again. The new Death Angel, The Evil Divide. That's July 19th at 9:30. July 28th. Now, again, we're screwing with the calendar. We will not be doing a show on July 26th, that Tuesday, because I will be at Gwen Stefani's Eve. Let Me Blow Your Mind. Instead, we'll be doing a show on Thursday, July 28th, Metal Hammer of Doom, the new Witherscape, the Northern Sanctuary. So mark your calendar for that. We're back on Tuesday, August 2nd, the new Dunsmuir. That's the Neil Fallon side project, getting rave reviews for those that have heard it. Not exactly Clutch, but if you like Clutch, you'll still like it. It's good stuff. The week after that, the new Tarja, we'll be reviewing that on August 9th, The Shadow Self. on August 16th, Yakko with a Y. I can't wait for this album. Comes out the same day as Tarja. We'll be reviewing it a week later. Royoko by Yakko with a Y. Hope he plays the chainsaw again. August 23rd, another one for Cooper here. Sabaton, The Last Stand. Are you excited about that one, Cooper?
Oh, my nipples are raging.
Outstanding. That's exactly what I'm
going to my nipples again, Edith.
More talk about nipples on this show. Speaking of nipples, August 30th, the new Running Wild comes out for those of you into the pirate metal. Rapid Foray. That brings us to September 6th. The new Devin Townsend project, we'll be reviewing it. Transcendence. Also in the month of September is Alan Moore month. I actually get around to reading any of these books. I may not. This one.
Let me tell you about From Hell, sir. Gee.
And all I'll ever talk about is the movies. I don't know if the way things are going. We'll talk about that when we get a little bit closer to September. On Tuesday, September 13th, unless there's a hue and cry from my colleagues here, we will be reviewing a KMFDM album called KMFDM Rocks, Milestones Reloaded. And I decided to do this, one, because these are all new recordings of old songs, but it saves me the headache of having to do a KMFDM retrospective. So, you know, are we down with this, guys? Are we good with the KMFDM Rocks?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. I got to hear the new single from Brujeria called Viva Presidente Trump. It's amazing. Hard penis and nipples. It's fantastic. I can't wait for this album. Other than the new Life of Agony, the new Brujeria is all I want to hear. Pocho Aslan, that comes out. We'll be reviewing September 20th. Are we excited for the new Brujeria, Jesse?
Oh, yeah. What is that again?
Do you know what Brujeria is? Have you ever heard of Brujeria?
I have no idea. No clue.
First of all, have you ever heard the cover of the Macarena that the Brujeria did called Marijuana?
Maybe. If you played it on the show, it's a very good possibility.
All right. Well, go on YouTube and go listen to some Brujeria, their first album, Pito Wilson. Go listen to Pito Wilson. That's the best part.
Okay.
Cooper, what do you think about Brujeria? Am I talking smack here, or is Brujeria the real deal?
Brujeria is pretty fucking awesome.
They are, man. Angry Mexican death metal. The best.
All right.
September 27th, Every Time I Die, Low Teens. I don't know if you guys are fans of the Every Time I Die, but I think we'll review that album. Now, Epica has got a new album dropping on September 30th. We won't be getting to it until October 11th because the week that we would normally be doing it, which is October 4th, I will be at Clutch. I'll be at Clutch October 4th. Wednesday, we're reviewing the new Luke Cage series that's dropping on Netflix. Thursday is Long Road to Ruin, the first part of our Hannibal Lecter retrospective of movies that we'll be doing in two parts, and then I don't want to work on Fridays. So we'll be reviewing the new Epica on October 11th, and the new Testament that's been announced, we'll get, you know, that's later on in the month. So that's what we're doing, folks. We've got stuff all the way to October. What do you think, Jesse? Is that a good schedule? Are you excited for what's next month?
Hell yes, sir. Hell yeah. We've already covered that, but hell yeah.
What about you, sir? You excited for the next 3 months? Did I do good? You feel like I have pushed you aside, that you know, you're not getting enough on the Metal Hammer of Doom, or are you good with the schedule?
It's a good schedule. If there's anything that I think is really imperative, I'll say something.
Okay. So for now, you are satisfied, as they say.
Yes.
All right. So plug your non-podcast there, Coop.
Oh, my non-podcast. Okay. Well, first thing to plug, it's not a podcast, is the SGDQ Summer Games Done Quick on Twitch on Twitch.com. It's actually them raising money for Doctors Without Borders. People will be doing speed runs of video games from actually last Sunday until this Saturday. Just playing video games, beating them real quick. It's pretty cool. Support it. Goes to a good cause. WGM Network, Spreaker.com, Wrestling to the Max, my buddy Sean Garmer. Love that guy. Tons of podcasts on the channel. Then there's this podcast. Then there's the Sentai Rider podcast, which is S-E-N-T-A-I-D-R podcast. Find us on Facebook. It is your home for Tokusatsu, even though we haven't posted anything in God knows how long, and well, maybe we'll do it one day. Besides that, Lowe's, store 2653, South Winston-Salem. Yeah, go there. Say hi to me. I work. And my phone's about to die, so I might cut out.
So funny because my wife, you know, her email address has her store number from Walmart when she worked there. So when you say that, that's what I immediately think of because she hasn't worked there in years. But I think of their, I know her store number. Are you done with your plugs, Coop?
Si. Yes.
Okay. All right. He said si. All right. Well, as for myself, my name is Jesse Starcher. I host a podcast called the I just forgot it. It's called the hold on, Mark, help me out. Source Material Podcast. Boy, why did that all of a sudden leave my brain? I have no idea. Source Material Podcast here on Mondays. We're up to 77 episodes. It's unbelievable. This last one, I had the opportunity to speak to Benjamin J. Cologne, and we discussed one of the greatest Spider-Man stories ever told, and that is Nothing Can Stop the Juggernaut. And we had a lot of fun. There were a lot of Terminator references in that book, and there were also quite a few what was the other reference in there? There was Terminator, and there was something else. I can't remember. It's getting late. I'm failing tonight, buddy. You can follow me at Stiznarchy on Twitter. Go give the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Facebook page a like. You can stay up on top of all the great podcasts that are out there. You can follow us on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn Radio. Next week on Source Material, we are going to be – well, not next week. It'll be the week after. We're going to be talking DC versus Marvel from 1990. And at some point on the Kapow podcast – check it out on iTunes, folks. If you're down with KPP, you know me. You can find me doing some Marvel trivia with them boys. I was the trivia master, and that was a lot of fun. That should be dropping here next week. So other than that, I think that's it, man. I have finally made myself and escaped the magma, and I'm ready for bed.
All right. Well, I don't think there's a better way to end this podcast. So tune in next week for Lacuna Coil next Thursday. For the Metal Coop, Mr. Robert Cooper. For the man who brings you the source material, Mrs. Jesse Starcher, I am your mandated reporter. And frankly, I'm mortified. This has been a Rattlers and Broadcasting Network review of Gojira Hot Magma. See you next week. Well, be safe and be safe.